Okay, folks, I'm going to be interviewing Lucas. That's a pseudonym for his real name. His real name is Wayne Young. He no longer cares about people knowing who he is since the government's already figured out who he is. I consider Lucas here to be one of the top-notch researchers into the subject of Planet X, also known as the Wormwood, Nibiru, the Dark Star, the Destroyer, the Planet of the Crossing. It comes under quite a number of names. I don't have a bio here on Lucas. I think he prefers to stay low profile, even though people know who he is. But anyway, we're going to be bringing Lucas on here in a second. I got some pretty interesting items here on my paper in front of me to discuss with him. Lucas was a guest on John Moore's radio show over on Republic Broadcasting Network on Sunday, August 1st. I have that posted on my Archives Miscellaneous subpage in case anybody wants to check it out. It was a pretty good interview. So anyway, we're going to bring Lucas on the air now.
Okay.
Well, we got Lucas on the line now, and I'd like you to talk about what's going on with this inbound passage of Planet X, and whatever you want to bring to the table.
Oh, okay. All right. It's I'll let you set the topic matter. You have a lot of important information to put out there yourself. But what would you like to talk about?
Well, the first thing we could get into is Project HARP. I was just doing some research here on this. I read that HARP was used to locate oil deposits, is being used to locate oil deposits, and sure enough, Jerry E. Smith, you know, he was one of the most prominent public speakers on Project HARP, and he dies of cancer a month before the Deepwater Horizon oil rig goes down. Do you think there's any connection there?
Very well could be. You know, there's so many different facets to this, it's impossible to research, every aspect of it. I was actually, just a few minutes ago, was looking at a video called The Tale of Two Wells on YouTube, and it's about them doing a switch-up on the BP oil wells, and I don't quite understand it yet, but there looks like there's something fishy going on down there with two different wells, and there's, like I said, there's just so many facets to all this. You know, we don't even know if it's a planet, if it's a star, if it's a black hole, if it's just a cloud of a big cloud of gas. You know, nobody really knows what's up there in space that causes this or exactly how it happens. But what's really interesting to me is that in recent times they found out that the rivers in the United States used to flow east to west, and then they also found out through the NASA and the space shuttle found out that the Nile River used to flow east to west. So that would tell you that the planet's axis was different at one point in time, and that the whole axis of the world just flipped.
Wow. Yeah, I have to watch that video yet. Somebody sent me that video, A Tale of Two Oil Wells.
Yeah, it's an interesting video.
Do you think that they're just lying about the Gulf crisis and they don't really have that thing plugged? Because me and my Planet X researcher friend John DiNardo think that that there's natural disasters popping up all over the place, and that's why the Corexit is in the Gulf, because they want to conceal all the oil that's still seeping up from these fissures on the seabed floor.
I have a feeling there's probably some truth to that. That's why I have a feeling all the oil wells are popping all around the world, because, I mean, obviously these are long pipes that are put through, thousands of feet of rock, and when that rock shifts around and moves, it's going to snap those pipes. And I have a feeling that that's what may be causing, there were earthquakes down in Mexico right around the time, I believe. Now, don't hold me to this, but I do believe that there were earthquakes in Mexico right around the time that this had happened, so I haven't done much research into it. I just remember that there might be a connection there.
I did hear something about a natural gas pipeline explosion in North Texas, and there was a quake when that happened.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, there's just so much stuff to keep track of. It's like a barrage. It's a total barrage of things happening, from cosmic events to, Earth earth events, weather events, you know, economy, the human aspect of it all. There's just millions of different facets to this whole thing to keep track of.
But you are firmly convinced that this is this inbound passage, or this cosmic event that's about to transpire, is the mother of all conspiracies, right?
Oh, yeah. I do believe that they've known about it for a long time. Did you just read that the UN Charter ends on 12/21/2012?
No. Wow.
I mean, not the UN Charter. I mean the Charter for the Federal Reserve. Yeah, the Federal Reserve Charter ends on 12/21/2012.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, do some research into that. And, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that... I think they've known about it a long time, and you know, this is the gray area here. Is that unfortunately, you know, with almost 7 billion people on the planet, right? You just can't come out with this information. It's good that the way the information sifts out into the open-minded people and is not presented to the general public in the form of CNN or something like that, because then everybody would probably die. Because everybody would freak out and lose their composure, they'd stop working, they'd get depressed, you know, they basically throw their arms up in the air and say, what am I going to do? So it's good that the information just seeps out very slowly through the masses like this.
Well, you were talking there about the UN Charter, so you think things like Agenda 21 and that have been set up, all these police state measures have been set up because this is what's... they're going to need to implement after the dust settles, after these earth cataclysms?
Well, you know, it's going to be pretty, you know, it's going to be pretty chaotic, I would suggest. I mean, people freak. A good example is in India. Well, when you said UN Charter, remember, I actually meant to say the Charter for the Federal Reserve. You know, a good example of how people are is there was, I think it was like 2 years ago, there was some sort of religious ceremony being held in India, and there was a rumor of a fight that got started. And basically, there was a rumor that there was a fight, and it started a stampede of people, and hundreds of people were killed, I believe, and several, you know, there were a lot of people injured. And that was all based upon nothing, you know, and look how people reacted to that. So... I typically don't believe anymore where I used to believe years ago that there was a group of people. Well, there are groups of people who do believe in eugenics and want to sift out population in certain ways, but the majority of people in the government don't want to kill off the masses of people. They actually want to preserve, you know, make sure that our country comes out on top rather than having a country like China or Russia come out on top of this. They want to make sure that our country comes out on top, and they don't want to kill our citizens, you know. I mean, when you think that the barium is there to kill people, and then all of a sudden you realize that nobody's dying over it, and barium absorbs radiation, obviously they're spraying that stuff up in the air to not only protect themselves, but they want to make sure that humanity goes on. Nobody has the intention of wiping out all humanity, and even the elites and the people at the top don't have all the variables. They don't know what's going to happen. You know, all they know is, I mean, they may know what type of event's going to happen, but they don't know what the outcome is going to be. All they can do is prepare for it just like anybody else.
Yeah, I was just, you just read my mind. I was talking to my friend in Milwaukee and my PlanetX researcher friend, John DiNardo, about the chemtrail spraying, and we think that you might really be onto something there with the about what the chemtrail spraying is really all about, because, you know, that's what we always hear in the alternative research community. They're spraying the chemtrails to make us all sick, but I think there's something deeper going on with that.
Well, who's getting sick? Well, now barium and that sort of thing does have a reaction to the body, and it will lower your immune system. But I believe that that's where in the, you know, the Christian Bible it says that, you know, in the end times there'll be a lot of plague and a lot of sickness amongst the people, and that could just be because of the barium lowering people's, you know, their immune systems. But at the same time, I mean, look at the cancer rates have shot up. Now, what's going to happen if you have a brown dwarf star out there in space ejecting a bunch of X-rays and a bunch of subatomic particles through our bodies? You're going to have DNA breaks. You're going to have higher cancer rates. My cat just died a couple days ago of cancer at 10 years old. You know, I mean, it's like everybody dies of cancer these days.
Yeah, what the cosmic, I was just researching that this morning, the cosmic ray input is up like 19%.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was last year. We don't even know it's, I don't even know what it's up this year. I haven't, like I said, there's just so many things to study about this. It takes a long time to do a lot of, you know, research into the different aspects of all the things happening.
I know if people would just do some research and use their own independent thinking here, the evidence is just mountainous. Here's another thing I discovered last night. Have you ever heard of Professor Jim McCaney?
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with his research.
Well, he talks about how NASA's peddling all this garbage junk science out to the public and that comets are not icy little snowballs like they tell us. He says that the history of the passage of comets are one of the things they don't want the public to learn about. Well, anyway, I found McCaney mentioned on a show a few years ago that as extra solar system objects come in our way, we're going to be discovering things like new planets, new moons, etc. And on NPR posted this late last year, 32 new planets discovered. So this could just be another dot connector here.
Yeah. Oh, well, they got better technology to see out there farther, and they've now been able to recognize when they're looking at a star and they see a little blip on it that's a planet going around the star in an orbit. So they've been able to find planets that way. And but, you know, this event, whatever it may be, coming up, you know, it's going to have epic proportions for the world and change the world as we know it. And you know, what I'm really interested in lately is just researching Atlantis and things like that, because there's a lot of that all ties in together. I think that Atlantis went underneath it. I think that Plato was wrong in his time frame, because you think about it, that was thousands of years before Plato's time, and I suspect that Atlantis went underneath the water during Meltwater Pulse 1A, when the oceans rose tremendously fast. Nobody really knows exactly how fast they rose, but they went up hundreds of feet, what could have been, you know, a mere hours. So, and that was something that flash-melted glacier water, you know, totally just flash-melted these glaciers and caused a huge meltwater pulse, and it actually stopped the ocean currents, which it was when we were coming out of the Ice Age, coming out of the last Ice Age, basically. I think that most of the things that, you know, that are talked about in religion and through the myths and things like that have some sort of basis due to Earth changes. Like, for instance, if you look at a satellite map of the Strait of Gibraltar, you will clearly notice that at one point in time when the oceans were 400, 500 feet lower, that was just a valley of land, the whole Black Sea area and that thing. And that's where the Noah and the Gilgamesh flood stories originated from, in that region there. And that as the ocean levels rose, the ocean water broke through that little tiny chunk of land we know as the Strait of Gibraltar today and flooded that whole region, that whole valley region there. And that was probably what accounted for, you know, the flood of Gilgamesh and the Noah's flood. So, you know, most of these things that happen and have myths, like, for instance, dragons, you know, the myth of dragons, they cut throughout history. We don't find any evidence, any bones, any dragon bones. No, I believe a dragon is a cosmic event. That's, you know, it says right in the Christian Bible that, you know, they looked up at the sky and there appeared a great red dragon. So, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that tie together.
Well, it was interesting what I heard you mention on John Moore's show Sunday about the Bermuda Triangle, because, oh, yeah, that would be a great idea, just throw in the UFO thing with it all so nobody could figure out why planes are, you know, not allowed in that area.
Well, it's not that they're not allowed, but I'm sure that there are days when the water is very clear. You know, I've lived down by the ocean before, and I've seen that some days the ocean is a lot clearer than other days, and other days it's very murky due to currents. And you know, certain days pilots might have gone over and seen things that they weren't supposed to see. Google has that area blocked out for some reason. I mean, it's obvious it's not very deep compared to the rest of the ocean, and they can clearly show the ocean floor in much deeper areas, so you have to ask why they have that whole area there blurred out. What was interesting about that is that's where I've always suspected that it would be, and then when Google Earth, I finally got a chance to check on that, and that area was blurred out. You know, because if you think about, you know, the glaciers, where they were throughout the Ice Age, right, humans couldn't have lived where the glaciers were, or they couldn't have lived, you know, very close to the glaciers, because the growing season wouldn't be very good. But, you know, they would probably live down along the southern part of the United States, throughout the, you know, the Caribbean islands, and south of that.
Well, as a cosmic event materializes, you think we're going to witness more cataclysmic damage to the northern hemisphere versus the south?
I don't know, to be honest. I really don't know. Because if you look at the moon, you know, you look at the backside of the moon, it seems that the south part of the moon is riddled with many more craters than the north. So, and I've noticed that a lot of the comets that came and struck the sun in the last couple of years, or went around the sun, they all came from the south. So that would tell me that whatever drags these objects out of the Oort cloud and through the asteroid belt or whatnot, that, I mean, we might not even see anything. I mean, we might not even see, I believe we will, but we might not even see any object. It might be so far out there that its gravitational pull just affects the asteroid belt and the Oort cloud and you know, just throws thousands of objects in our direction. You know, there has been a lot of fireballs that people have been seeing in the sky lately. That's been quite, I've never seen such fireballs as I've seen in some of these videos lately.
Yeah, I really appreciate your postings on your website on that, because I have not even heard about some of those.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit behind. I've had a lot of stuff to do. I haven't had a chance to put much news stories up in the last couple days, but yeah, I'm going to get more on that in the near future here.
What do you think's up with all the sinkholes? There's been 100 in Florida this year, and I see that Colorado Springs had 3 of them within the last, like, 2 months. There's one that popped up in Milwaukee here.
The changing Earth's crust. You think about this, you know, it's like the Earth's crust floats on top of a liquid pool of magma. You know, we're basically, it's like an island that's not attached to the ground. It's like, I don't know, like a skin, like an orange peel. You know, and just like in that movie 2012, he demonstrated how the Earth's crust can slip around, you know, based upon, I guess it's based upon the mass of where the greater mass is on the Earth relative to the gravitational pulling on the planet. You know, wherever the greatest mass of the Earth is going to be is where the gravity is going to pull the most on a planet. So, you know, John Moore made a lot of sense in what he said about the slosh. You know, when the world changes, that high water that's around the equator, because of the Earth's spin, you know, that water is going to slosh around the planet. And that's really the only way you can flood the entire planet. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of global flood stories from ancient times, but yet it's impossible to flood the Earth through rain. It literally, there's not enough water on the planet. Even if you melted all the ice caps and everything, it would be impossible. It'd have to be some sort of event that caused the water, the oceans, to like slosh. Like, say, if you had, you know, a bucket of water and you sloshed it around, I mean, it's pretty much the way it would work on the planet in a large scale.
Have you ever heard of an ancient text called the Mahabharata, also known as the Rig Veda?
I've heard of it. I've never really done any research into it, but what's it about?
Well, I have a lady researcher friend in Wisconsin that tells me about this because she hears my interviews with these people. That they're always buried in the Bible to prove that Planet X is coming our way. But she asks if any of these people have ever heard of the Mahabharata, because this predates the Bible.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting things that predate the Bible. You know, I mean, for instance, is it just a coincidence that you know, the Byzantine calendar starts at approximately the time there were a lot of you know, catechisms on a planet, and at the same time it falls in the line of the 3600 year pattern? You know, it's a big coincidence that that all lines up like that, and also the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and when they look at the area, they found that other surrounding cities were destroyed at that time, and you know, the fall of Jericho, the end of the Egyptian, that particular dynasty, I forget exactly which one it was, the you know, the end of the Minoans, the Sup civilization, the Xia civilization in China, all these, you know, these civilizations just came to abrupt halt about that time and had to restart. Same time as the Exodus, and, you know, you look at the 10 plagues, you know, if you ever get a chance, you need to watch that old biblical movie. Oh, I forget what it's called. The one, I think maybe it's called The Bible, where Charlton Heston plays, you know, he plays Moses. You know the name of that?
Yeah, I think I recall that. That was back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Well, I forget what the name of it is. But anyway, in there, he, you know, the different things he does, he throws a serpent into the, you know, he throws his cane, which is a serpent, into the ocean or into the water, and it turns red, you know, and it's just all the symbolism of the serpent. You know, the serpent, I believe, is the object, the dragon, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Nibiru, all the same thing.
Well, my friend John DiNardo, he's sort of like been a co-host on my radio shows. He believes that God is sending Planet X our way to destroy us. What do you think of that?
Well, maybe he doesn't send it. Maybe he created it and put it on a 3,600-year orbit because he knew that would be for instance, on this planet, humans almost don't fit on this planet. Every single creature on this planet has an equilibrium with the other creatures around it. For instance, let me give you a great, for instance, the cicadas. At nighttime, the cicadas come out. They make as much noise as they want. They can mate. They can do their thing. The birds, leave them alone. They don't mess with the cicadas at night because birds are sleeping. Well, as soon as the sun starts to come up, the cicadas completely be quiet because they need to hide from the birds while the birds are awake during the day. And it's this perfect little balance that they have going on for thousands of years back and forth with each other. And that way the birds never eat too many cicadas so that the cicadas disappear, and that way the cicadas never, you know, get out of line and multiply too much. So it's a perfect balance. Humans seem to be the only creature on the planet that is different. We don't have something that regulates our natural selection like the other creatures do. And maybe this object is created to be our natural selector. You know, maybe this object is created by God to weed out. Because if you look back at the story of Noah, Noah went around and told everybody, hey, it's going to flood, it's going to flood, and they all laughed at him. Well, the people that laughed at him weren't so smart, obviously. Their genes didn't go on, and Noah's did.
Wow, interesting. Now, there's another talk show host out there on American Voice Radio Network named Gianni Hayes. She'd like to interview you. She has a thesis she put out about clone soldiers for the New World Order Army, and I heard you on John Moore's show Sunday mention about how they're robotizing / autonomizing the military, and you mentioned how they're going to go out on the surface looking for survival groups and that after the cataclysms.
Well, no, I don't really think that they're going to be looking for survival groups. I think that they're going to be just defending the country, you know, because there are other countries who have a vested interest to try and take over American soil, you know, and I think that they're going to be defending the country. I think that the survivalist groups will pretty much be on their own, and the military might even rely on survivalist groups to help protect the country against invasion from foreigners.
So you think there was any kind of truth in the Terminator movies, or?
Oh, yeah. Do you know that interesting piece of information about the Terminator movies. Most people don't recognize that the Terminator movies and the Matrix Part 1 are all part of one series, one book written called The Third Eye. I wish I could remember her name. Just go onto the internet and type the mother of the Matrix, and you'll find out who I'm talking about. But anyway, apparently what's happened is the Wachowski brothers had submitted some sort of contest where you could submit your story, and they may publish it or not, and if they did, you'd win money or whatnot. So anyway, this lady has submitted her book called The Third Eye. Well, she never heard back from them, and then all of a sudden the Wachowski brothers come out with The Matrix, and Terminator 1, 2, and 3 were put out too, but that's not the Wachowski brothers. But anyway, apparently what the situation is that Terminator 1, 2, and 3 are the first parts, and The Matrix is the last part of the book. Basically, it's all connected together that here you have the... you have the machines getting smarter and smarter throughout the Terminator, and then finally at Terminator 3, they nuke the world and take over the world, and then the Matrix 1 picks up where that left off after the machines had already taken over the world and have enslaved humanity. And that's why apparently the Matrix 2 and 3 are nowhere near the caliber of Matrix 1. They're just a bunch of special effects with not much story to them. And they've been sued, although it's been thrown out a couple times. They've been sued by this lady for stealing her work. And, so I do believe there's probably some scientists actually study and fear the possibility that if artificial life is created, that it will, deem humanity as a problem. So... you know, the Terminator scenario could be a very real thing. But I think that they're just, you know, they're robotizing this whole thing, and because they want to be able to protect the country from foreigners. I mean, the Chinese have a vested interest to expand. From what I'm told, I can't verify this, from what I'm told, the Chinese soldiers are told that you're going to get your women in America. You know, don't worry about Chinese women. There's not enough to go around. You're going to get all your women over in the States. So, you know, I think that it's basically to protect this country.
Maybe that's why Walmart there in Arkansas has some underground bunkers.
Well, yeah, there's underground facilities all over the place. And that's another thing I wanted to mention is people don't want to go screwing around with these people. You know, don't be, you know, every disaster movie you see on TV, you know, where they have a secret facility, where they're trying to save the population, whether it be 2012 or Deep Impact or whatnot, there's always a scene in there where they show hundreds and hundreds of people, or maybe even thousands, outside the gates, pounding on the gates, begging to be let in. Okay, that's not the place you want to be, because in real life, they're not going to put up with that. In real life, they're just going to shoot everybody. So it's best that you leave those people alone. You know, it's best that everybody leave those people be and make your own way. And if you're not a problem, I don't think that they're going to have a problem with you, because they don't want to extinguish humanity. You know, they want to make sure humanity in the United States goes on.
Right, they're always going to need a slave labor worker bee force out there. And I've even heard Marshall Masters say that, yeah, confrontation is not the route you want to go after the dust settles, because they have patented all the seed stock at the Svalbard facility up there in Norway, and that's how they're going to, one way they're going to control us, so we don't go into confrontation with them.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you know, he who has the seeds has the power, that's for sure. And you know, it's going to be like that. I believe that there, honestly, I believe personally that there's going to be two events. That there's going to be one, and then which isn't going to be as bad. That's going to be also known as the tribute. I mean the rapture, whatever you want to call it. I think it's going to be the first event that's going to take out most of the coasts of the country. I mean, of the world, and since a good portion of the population actually lives on the coast, it's probably going to wipe out about a third of mankind, and then we're going to have a period in between there where it kind of goes back to normal a little bit, but not really. You know, things are hectic and horrible, but then I think that there's going to be another really, really, really big event that's going to change the world, change the orientation, maybe even change the days of the calendar. Because, I mean, if you go from the ancient Egyptians having to go from a 360-day calendar to a 365-day calendar, you'll also notice that the temperature dropped on the world when it happened. During the last event, the temperature was about a degree hotter than it is now. And after the event, the temperature dropped a little bit. So it seems like whatever gravitational force is out there pulls the planet a little bit away from the sun, okay? It almost seems like that this event, to me, after looking at this for over and over and over and over again, my best explanation, and I could be totally wrong, but this is my best explanation, that whatever is out there, at certain points in time, it pulls the Earth away from the sun, you know, maybe by a couple days orbit, like say the last time it was 360 days, now it's 365. Maybe next time it pulls us, you know, another 10 days away, we go into an ice age. Okay, the planet drops into an ice age. And then what happens is eventually the object comes up on the other side of the sun, you know, thousands and thousands of years down the road after the ice age is complete, and starts pulling the world back towards the sun, and that's why it gets hotter. That's why we go into these 20,000-year warm periods. So I think that this cyclical event has been happening for millions of years, and the humanity has been here. We've had technology a long time ago that's been wiped out by the waves, and it just resets. And, you know, there's billions of us.
Well, there is a Planet X researcher out there. I'm not going to mention the name, but they have... They mentioned on my show that the moon is not in the right part of the sky anymore. And back to that rapture thing, that'll more than likely be a staged event by what you mean by that, right?
Well, no. I think that'll be part of the cosmic thing. I think that the cosmic event is a two-part deal. And, you know, I can't even base this upon any facts, but all I'm basing it upon is actually prophecy, and I typically don't do that. But there's a lot of connection between a lot of these prophecies, like between Mother Shipton and between Nostradamus and Edward Gacy. There's just a lot of tie-ins there. How they talk about, Nostradamus talks about two different events. Mother Shipton talks about two different events. And the interesting thing about Mother Shipton is it really doesn't matter who wrote that. It was first published in the 1600s. So whoever wrote that had great insight into the future. And I think possibly that prophecy isn't exactly what people tend to believe it is. It's not, in a lot of cases, somebody actually seeing the future. It's just somebody having knowledge of a cyclical event. Any one of us, if we knew about, like, say, any survivor of this event right here, right, they can write it down, and if they know the time frame that it's going to happen again, they can sound like a prophet 3,600 years into the future because of the fact that they just knew how things were going to pan out when this object came whipping around through space again. So I think that maybe these prophets like Nostradamus and Mother Shipton, since they were around hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they might have actually had access to texts and books that just no longer exist today, ones that were lost throughout time or hidden by the elites or whatnot, or lost in fires and things like that. So I think maybe these prophets might have had just inside information.
Wow, great insight there, Lucas. Hey, one of my first questions right off the bat when I started getting into this, and John Moore is primarily the guy that woke me up to all this. One of my big questions right off the bat when I started getting into this was, how do we know they're not just going to unleash all their weather warfare technology to make us think these climate changes are going on? I mean, how much of this weather phenomena you think is actually being created by the boys with the toys?
I don't know. Can't really answer that question because I don't have information. I don't have top secret clearance to anything, and I wouldn't even want top secret clearance to anything. You know, it's a really tough question because, you know, here on one hand you have people saying they're going to be able to manipulate the weather, okay? But here on the other hand, you have some of the most basic tasks that can't be accomplished, you know, in our society. So it's like, you know, it's really a tough question, you know, how deep it really goes and how much. I think that the majority of it's just being affected by the cosmic event, by whatever's out there with the gravitational pull.
Well, I guess another way to phrase it is, do you personally think that they have the technology to alter the weather, and that technology is pretty old already?
Well, I think they have the technology to make it snow and rain in certain places just by seeding the clouds or actually making it dry in places by making the rain fall out of the clouds ahead of time. I think that they can do that.
How about steering hurricanes?
I don't know. I've heard different theories on that, and I don't know what to believe. So I haven't done enough research into it to make an educated guess. I've heard the theory of being able to beam a laser beam down and basically guide the eye of the hurricane because they could heat the water in an area and basically guide the eye. I think that it could possibly be done. I don't know if they're actually doing it. It might be future technology. Who knows? But as for earthquakes, yeah, I'm sure that they can probably use ultra-low frequency waves and make a place that's already have a lot of tension, you know, an earthquake fault that's already built a lot of tension. They may be able to release that tension using ultra-low frequency waves, but at the same time, they cannot make an earthquake happen where there's no fault, and they can't make an earthquake happen on a fault that's just probably had an earthquake and released all the tension.
I was talking to a guy up in Canada the other day. His name's Daniel Towsey, and he told me that like 2.5 months ago, all the USGS stations around the entire planet recorded either a 2.5 or a 3.5, but all the stations picked this up and it wasn't widely reported. Have you heard about that?
No, I hadn't, actually.
All right. Your take on the Denver airport is pretty interesting as well. I don't know if you got to hear any of these sound bites I've created, but you're in these sound bites that are posted on my website, and on one of them you mentioned about the roof and the steel poles at the Denver airport. Can you mention that again?
The roof of that place is made out of a very high-tech material, like a Kevlar material made by NASA, and it's why would they need that, for one? And you know, you got it on this giant, it's like a big tent, you know, and these big metal tent poles. It's almost like I can't verify this, but I mean, it almost looks like they're trying to stop electromagnetic pulses, you know, because those big metal poles are grounded, obviously, so that would be a way to ground out the electromagnetic pulse if there were large ones coming in. So, it's just theory, but, obviously they spent a lot of money on that roof for some reason, probably to bounce incoming objects. Because it doesn't even matter if an asteroid hits. If something hits, like, say, in Chicago, you know, something big, maybe a couple football fields across, that thing is still going to blow debris in all directions, you know, and that debris is going to come back down raining onto the planet. So, you know, they're probably trying to protect themselves against projectiles.
Yeah, I brought up your very interesting theory there about the roof at the Denver airport with my friend Bart Sabrell in Nashville. He's the guy that's went around and exposed all these Apollo moon astronauts by having them try to swear in a Bible that they really went to the moon. Well, anyway, I told Bart about your theory, and he says, yeah, it says in the Bible that there's going to be like 75 or 100-pound hailstones coming down, and, you know, maybe that roof at the airport's designed to withstand that.
Yeah, it also says in the Bible that in the end times that the nations of the world will flee to the mountains, too. And so it's and that's also a scene. It's also a scene in the murals there at the airport. You know, see, I believe that there are different factions of people. Obviously, people don't get along about everything. Just like this event, you got different elites up there who don't agree with different ways of how to manage this whole event. Okay, you have so many elites now. You just don't have, you know, you've got a handful of people on the top, but you've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people right underneath them who have a lot of decision-making power. And, you know, they all don't agree on how this should end. Some of them are, you know, agree on eugenics-based things. Others are thinking about, you know, the future of humanity. It's just, there's so many different facets to it. And, you know, so where I was going with this is that, you know, nobody really knows what's going to happen out of this. Is just it could literally change humanity to where we go back to the Stone Age, or it could just you know, I don't think it's going to wipe out humanity. I just think that you know, it's going to change the way that things are tremendously.
That's why I think they pose all these different disaster scenarios on these movies, is because they themselves don't know how bad it's going to get. And maybe I've also heard Dave Hodges, the talk show host on RBN, mention that there is an inner war within the elite going on. There may be more truth to that.
Oh yeah, it's a eugenics war. Certain people believe that races need to be separated, and other people believe that races need to be mixed. It's a basic philosophy that goes to the core of humanity, and you can see it in everyday people. You can see that certain people get, all right, like for instance, let's go throughout all the Bush family and all the big corporation families. They keep within themselves. They never breed with other people outside of the outside of their little flock. And you have the other people who totally believe in mixing all the genes, and that the human race will be better if we're all just one big mixture of genes. So you have this inner war going on between these two different factions, basically, that one believes that the races need to be separated into the four basic categories of white, brown, black, and yellow, and the other that believes that it needs to be all mixed. And that's where the big part of the inner conflict comes from, I believe.
Yeah, I actually remember a broadcast Professor Jim McCanney did. I think it was back in 2008. He mentioned that Bush had purchased that tremendous amount of land down there in Paraguay, and McCanney was looking at some, I think it was Google Earth images of that area, and he was, initially it was showing like some type of piping coming up off the surface where he had purchased that land, and then all of a sudden they blotted that out, or it wasn't showing on the satellite images anymore.
Yeah, well, it's a good place to be, you know, nestled in the Andes Mountains there. It'd protect you from, you know, pretty big waves and that sort of thing. And, you know, I find it interesting that the capital of Georgia is Atlanta, and it just happens to have a beach right there close to the area where I believe Atlantis was. And they built the Georgia Guidestones in Georgia, you know. It's very interesting. Very interesting coincidence.
Now, they got this new TV show they just launched here called The Colony. Have you heard of it? Seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it. You know, some of these things, you know, it's weird. It's weird what to make of some of these things because, all right, let me give you, for instance, there was one show that came out where this guy, Apocalypse Man, I think it was called. Okay, in the show, he shows you how to hotwire a car. Okay, and the things he's telling you there, you know, some of them are good that I can see would be beneficial, but others probably not so beneficial. And so this guy, he goes and he hotwires a truck and jumps in and takes off. He shows you what wires to cut and put together and everything, right? But what he doesn't tell you is that any car made after the early 70s is going to have a locking steering mechanism, and you can't drive a car off. You can't even hotwire a car. You have to break the steering mechanism in order to do that. And he doesn't show you that, and yet he gets in a vehicle that obviously has a steering mechanism and acts like he's hotwiring it and then drives off. You know, it's crazy. You got to be able to get that steering mechanism unloosened somehow. So I don't know whether some of this stuff. And he also tells you, he's like, set up a radio to where you can call out to other people. And I don't necessarily know that that's a good idea, because, I mean, there's going to be people out there looking for supplies, you know. And if you got supplies and you're out there sending a signal out, you know, and they find you, they're liable to try and take your stuff. So, you know, some of this stuff might not be so good. And, you know, I've seen the colony. I've seen it the last year. It was out to, 2009, I believe it came out. And,
there was one that came out last year, too?
Yeah, the colony's already been out. I've already seen it.
Oh, wow. I was just previewing it for my audience on my show that they were going to be putting out this colony show the latter part of last month, but I didn't know they've aired it in the past.
Yeah, it was on for, I think, maybe 4 or 5 episodes last year. Well, it's basically a bunch of people that they take them and they put them, and they take a whole section of a city, I think it's Los Angeles somewhere, and basically, you know, they have this whole big section, and they put them in there, and they put them in different disaster scenarios, and like dealing with other people trying to come and steal their stuff, and how to trade with other groups of bandits and things like that. And, you know, it's a post-apocalyptic show. And so that's why I believe that they're, you know, if they didn't want to, it's a very sticky situation for the government, okay? Here the government wants to protect its borders and protect its citizens. At the same time, it can't just come right out and tell everybody, because that would be the worst possible thing, because then everybody would riot, and then, you know, we'd already go into the cosmic event with a collapsed society. So it's a really a catch-22 situation there, where they, you know, can't really come out and say this, but at the same time, they don't want all the American citizens getting wiped out and China coming over here and stomping on our soil.
Have you heard about this thermal hailing conveyor? The Gulf Stream is essentially shut down, and we could see an ice age in Western Europe this year now?
Well, we're due. I mean, we are due. When they started talking about global warming, I started laughing. I'm old enough. I'm 41. I'm old enough to remember back when I was a kid. I was very, very, very interested. One of the things that sparked me into this was seeing the newspaper ads when I was a kid of the Ice Age coming in the 70s. And, you know, it sparked my interest into that. And I looked at, you know, when you look at the ice core data, you can clearly see that these things come in a rhythm, that there's, it's like a heartbeat almost. And so, yeah, we are due. I mean, we're going into an ice age, is what I believe, an 80,000-year period of cold on this planet.
Well, what I meant was, you don't think what's going on in the Gulf there with that oil disaster shut down the Gulf Stream, you actually think that was climate change from the cosmic event?
Yeah, no, I don't think that oil had anything to do with the current shutting down. I mean, I could be wrong, but I rather doubt that would have an influence. There's been bigger oil spills in the past, not caused by humans. You know, earthquakes that open up fissures, unleash whole wells into the ocean.
Oh, great point.
You know, that haven't caused ice ages in the past. So I rather doubt that would be something that would shut off the currents.
You may actually be right, Lucas, because 2 years ago when John Moore put that DVD out, he mentioned that North Atlantic thermal hailing conveyor was slowing down, and that it was eventually going to shut down, and now we're seeing that. So
oh yeah, it's been shutting down for years. And you know, another thing, another aspect of this is the weight of the glaciers. As the glaciers melt, okay, now imagine back during Meltwater Pulse 1A, if all of a sudden billions and billions of gallons of water, right, all of a sudden flash melted out of the glaciers, all that weight that was on those mountains that have been pushed down by the glaciers is released, and all of a sudden mountains would literally spring up within probably days and weeks, you know, because of the fact that that weight, and whenever those mountains spring up, other places are going to have sinkholes. You know, that's probably what's going on with the sinkholes, as I bet you if we do research into this without even, you know, without even having done any research into this, I bet you we can find a lot of places on the planet right now that are growing much faster than normal. Mountains and things like that are moving very fast. And I have a feeling that that's what's causing the sinkholes, is as land in one place pushes up, other places go down.
Wow.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about what to ask you here. I had a short list of things I wanted to ask you, but you could just throw it on the table, whatever you'd like.
Well, it's just an interesting time. You know, we are the generation that's witnessing something that hasn't happened in a long, long, long time. All these events going on, you know, everything, there's just too many to list. We could sit here for 3 hours just talking about events related to this. And then all of a sudden this giant spiral appears in the sky over Norway, and they want to tell us it's a Russian rocket. And I just think I'm not going to buy it, because of the fact that I've seen too many spirals in the past, you know, and the petroglyphs. And those people back then spent a lot of time carving those spirals into some hard granite, and you just don't do that. People just don't do that for nothing. The spiral affected their life in some way, shape, or form, and you know, I suspect that it wasn't very good, because they spent a lot of time doing this to try and warn us, most likely, of the spiral. And you know, you had another spiral appear over China, and another one over
Australia.
Yeah, so you know, it's interesting that Mother Shipton, in her prophecy, says that what is the exact words? A fiery dragon shall cross the sky six times before this earth will die. Well, is that what we're seeing with these spirals? Is that the fiery dragon crossing the sky six times? Because we're up to three now, if that's the case.
You think the spirals are an actual physical manifestation or some type of metaphysical projection?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know what it is, but it's not a Russian rocket. It looks to me to be something in space interacting with the sun. That's what I'm gathering from the Norway spiral.
Yeah, I don't buy that BS either about a Russian rocket. I mean, this stuff is carved in the ancient rock.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have Russian rockets back when they made those petroglyphs all over the world. And if you look at the map where that scientist had mapped out all the petroglyphs with the spirals in it, you'll notice that a good portion of them, the majority of them, are up in mountains. So it was like when the people had to run to the mountains to escape the ocean, they spent their time in caves carving out these spirals because they really didn't have anything to do. They were stuck there, afraid, scared, and all they could do is put what they saw on the sides of these caves. That's what I'd be doing if I was stuck in a cave right now dealing with a spiral in the sky flooding the world. I'd be there carving a spiral into the rock.
Well, a different topic here. I don't know if you got to see this, but you know who Robert S. Harrington was, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my research, I found out that there were at least two other men that were linked to that U.S. Naval Observatory that also died of cancer. And one of these other guys was also on the research in binary stars.
Yep, you're going to have that. It's definitely a prospect of getting involved in this, because you know, you got groups of people who don't want people knowing, period. You know, there's certain groups of people out there who don't want anybody knowing, and they've got some power.
Well, do you personally think that Heaven's Gate cult was suicided when Hale Bopp was coming through our system?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't, you know, I try my best to what I know. So I don't, I couldn't begin to imagine what happened in that whole situation.
All right, fair enough. Well, hey, we just about have 1 hour up here. I'll let you go because I know you need to prepare to do another show over there on, what is it, the Intel Hub today?
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you coming on board, Lucas, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, all right, great. Well, it was good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Lucas. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.